right. Here we go with Lion of Judah Synagogue, where we talk about the end of David's life. And as we begin this little story, I'm going to lay back and cuddle up with my little wool blanket. Here we go. They are so. It's a little chilly where I'm at, and where I moved the little turntables to, there's a little couch, so I'm laying on the couch, snuggled up with my little wool army blanket that I love. All right, because that's where we're going to find David, right here, is laying down at the end of his life, and they have to figure out how to keep him warm, because he doesn't have any warmth in his body. They can't keep him warm. He's always cold. I might have tried water, and giving him a water bed with, maybe they probably didn't have water beds back then, but they could have figured out something. Come on, guys. But they decided, well, let's get him a young virgin. So they go and find the most beautiful virgin of all the land, and her name is Abishag. And so they bring Abishag to David, and she is his concubine and keeps him warm and takes care of him and keeps him alive. Well, while David's going through all this, his son Adonijah decides, well, I'm going to take over the kingdom because I'm now the oldest son, and it's rightfully my kingdom. So I'm going to get Joab, the head of the military, and I'm going to get Abathar, head of the priests, and some other people. Some other people, and we're going to take over the kingdom and crown me king. So let's have a celebration. So he does. He gets Abathar and Joab to support him, and along with some other people that weren't 100% loyal to David, and they go down and crown him king. Well, then Bathsheba finds out and goes straight to Nathan the prophet, but Nathan and Solomon and Zadok, another priest, were not invited to, or Bathsheba, weren't invited to the coronation ceremony, or Solomon, the main one, Solomon, wasn't invited because that was rightfully his kingdom according to David and what he told Bathsheba. So Bathsheba goes to Nathan and says, Nathan, what is going on? David said that it was Solomon's kingdom, and now Adonijah's down there getting coronated as king of Israel. And Nathan's like, well, it is. So what we got to do is you got to go to David right now and talk to him. And then while you're there, I'll come in and I'll back up your story. So Bathsheba goes and talks to David, and she's like, David, you said that Solomon was going to rule. And then David's like, yeah, that's the truth. I swore in front of God, which don't swear to God. Don't make any promises to him unless you're going to fulfill it. And David knew this, so he had to fulfill it. So the point is that he goes and does that. The coronation ceremony is going on. David's in bed. Bathsheba's with him. And then somebody comes and knocks at the door and says, yo, Nathan the prophet's here. So he comes in and he's like, oh, hey. Yes. I thought Solomon was going to be king, and Adonijah's down there getting crowned king. And David's like, what? That's what Bathsheba just said. So he's like, I already swore to God with Bathsheba, and now Nathan's coming in here. Now go get Solomon and put him on my mule and get 50 people to march in front of him and go down there and crown him king and then come sit him right in my on my throne. And so they do, and they sit him right on David's throne. And when Adonijah hears about it during his ceremony, and I don't remember exactly who goes down and tells him, but someone tells him, he flees immediately to the tabernacle and hangs on to the horns of the tabernacle because that is the only place that they feel safe. So Solomon tells him to go get Adonijah out from the tabernacle and that he won't be killed as long as he behaves. And so Adonijah comes out and he isn't killed, and then Solomon tells him, go home. So he goes home. And then Solomon calls Abathar and says, yo, Abathar, you're going to have to leave the city now. And Abathar is like, okay, packs up his stuff and heads out. And then Solomon makes Zadok the head priest. Okay, so then Zadok is the head priest, and then it actually lists like all who Solomon had in power, like his personal secretary and his head of state and his general and stuff like that, which was Benaniah. All right, who was a priest, according to how I read it, with Zadok. Because when everyone rebelled, there were certain people that didn't rebel, and they were like Nathan and Zadok and Benaniah, and those people didn't rebel. So, yeah. So Adonijah comes up off the tabernacle and goes home. All right. So then the next chapter begins with David dying. That's right. So we got to go back to David now. So then David calls in Solomon before him and says, hey, Solomon, like, I got to go where everybody's going to go. I got to go meet my maker. And now you're going to take over the kingdom. And everybody wishes you twice the success of mine. But I need to tell you about two people. Get this. David's so, this is cunning, but gloriously cunning. So the realize that when the rebellion happened with Adonijah, or when he tried to usurp the throne, that Shemi didn't go with him, all right? But in just one second, we'll find out about Shemi. But first, David tells him about Joab, and he's like, son, Solomon. Because you realize David didn't have a lot of contact with his sons. Like, just didn't. It said that he didn't even discipline Adonijah, ever. Because he probably never spent no time with him, or probably didn't even have enough authority in his life to discipline him. You know, as far as the mothership goes, the mother's always with him, and the father, if he's only with him once every 10 days, you know, it's not like he wants to be the disciplinary while he's with them for the 4 hours he gets. So anyways, the point is that he didn't discipline his kids, but he tells, so I'm just saying, ultimately, I don't think he had this talk with Solomon before. He says, Saul, come here. And Solomon's like, all right. And then, so then he's like, Joab killed two of my generals, and it was murder. Like, he said that it was during war, but it wasn't. It was during times of peace. And so you need to make sure that he doesn't die peacefully and that he goes out killed. And so that blood is wiped off of our family's name. All right. And then the second he tells about Shimei. Okay. And if we go back a few episodes of Lion of Judah Synagogue, remember Shimei was the one that stood over David as he was leaving Jerusalem, cursing him, saying, you, like, in today's term, you pile of crud, like, you are a terrible person, and I hope that you get twice the bad that you've brought, and just cursing him, terrible curses, David said, you know, And so David said, you know, I spared his life and I said I wouldn't kill him, you know, down in the Jordan River. All right. And he was thankful, but that doesn't mean that you can't kill him. So then he puts it on Saul, like, he said, I want you to arrange a bloody death for him. And so I guess Saul takes that on. So he tells, he goes right for Joab, all right? Like, he doesn't mess around. He tells Joab, like, I don't remember exactly how it goes down off the top of my head right now, and I just read it. I should know better. But Joab ends up in the tabernacle hanging on the horns. And so then Benaniah has to go back to Solomon because Solomon sent Benaniah after him and say, yo, what do you want me to do? He's like, just kill him and bury him. And so he does, and he kills him and buries him. And he says, so none of that blood is on my family's name because no one would ever kill a general for my family is basically what they're saying. So then he tells Shemmy, he's like, hey, Shemmy, like, you can stay in Jerusalem, but if you leave Jerusalem and you cross over the Kidron Brook, then you're done for. And so Shemmy makes it 3 years, it says, and then his slaves escape, and he has to go, and he decides to go across the Kidron Brook to go get him in Gath with Achish, who was good to David, is still ruling in Gath. And he goes and gets him and comes back, and then Solomon's like, why'd you do that? And he's like, I told you not to, and then he kills him or has him killed. Okay, so then, let's see. Solomon, after that, the kingdom is at peace. He secures the kingdom by killing all those people and getting rid of, like, Abathar and stuff, so the kingdom's at peace. And he begins talking with, I'm skipping a chapter, and I'm trying to remember right off the top of my head what happens in the chapter, but eventually he starts talking with the king of Tyre, and the king of Tyre is like, hey, or Solomon's like, there's peace in Jerusalem now, and my father wanted to build a temple, but I was chosen to do it, so can you provide me with some wood? And the king of Tyre is like, yeah. And he actually makes a lot of good concessions to Solomon to make sure that the temple gets built. But he's probably excited that he gets to build the temple. And so then he says, well, we'll cut down cedars. And so Solomon conscribes 30,000 people in Israel and sends 10,000 of them every month, and they have to stay in Lebanon for a month and then come back down, and then they get to stay 2 months in Israel or in Jerusalem or wherever in Israel. Okay, so, and the king of Tyre says, hey, we'll even float them on the Mediterranean. So we'll make rafts for them and put them on there and float them down the Mediterranean. And then we'll undo them when they get down there and put them up for you so you can build the temple. Well, they do build the temple out of them, and they make it out of cedar wood and cypress wood. So the floors were cedar or cypress, and the walls, but they were overlaid with gold and stuff. But probably the most beautiful building ever. And it says in the next few chapters how big it is, and we'll get to that in the next episode of Lion of Judah Synagogue.
Your presence is all I seek.